So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 25-27. Sacrifice performed by Daksha. Ritvijucho. Atvam nati vayam ananjana rudra satpad. Karma niyavra grahadiyo bhagavan vidama. Dharmo palakshana mitatsi brit avar yakyam. Gyatam yaratam adidevam ato vyavashta. Ritvija, the priests, Uchu, began to say, Tattvam, truth, na, not, te, of your lordship, Vayam, all of us, Ananjana, without material contamination, Rudra, Lord Shiva, Shapat, by his curse, karmani, in fruitive activities, avagraha, being too much attached, diya, of such intelligence, bhagavan, O Lord, vidama, no, dharma, religion, upalakshanam, symbolized, idam, this, trivrit, the three departments of knowledge of the Vedas. Adbara, sacrifice. Akyam, the name of, of the name. Gyatam, known to us. Yat, that. Artam, for the matter of. Adidevam, for worshipping the demigods. Adaha, this. Vayavashta, arrangement. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The priests addressed the Lord saying, O Lord, transcendental to material contamination, by the curse offered by Lord Shiva's men, we have now become attached to fruitive activities, and thus we are now fallen, and therefore do not know anything about you. On the contrary, we are now involved with the injunctions of the three departments of knowledge, of the Vedic knowledge, under the plea of executing rituals in the name of Jagannath. We know that you have made arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods. Please repeat. The priest addressed the Lord, saying, O Lord, transcendental to material contamination, by the curse offered by Lord Shiva's men, we have become attached to fruitive activities, and thus we are now fallen, and therefore do not know anything about you. On the contrary, we are now involved in the injunctions of the three departments of the Vedic knowledge, under the plea of executing rituals in the name of Jagannath. We know that you have made arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods. Purple. The Vedas are known as Trayguna Vishaya Vedaha, Bhagavad Gita 2.45. Those who are serious students of the Vedas are very much attached to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, and therefore these Veda bodies cannot understand the ultimate goal of the Vedas is to understand Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Those who have transcended the qualitative Vedic attractions, however, can understand Krishna, who is never contaminated by the material qualities. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is addressed here as Ananjana, free from material contamination. In Bhagavad Gita 2.42, the crude Vedic scholars have been depreciated by Krishna as follows. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti abhipashtita vedavatarata partha nanyad ashtiti vadina. That men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, and they say there is nothing more than this. So I read the translations from 25 to 27. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the master of all sacrifices and preceptor of all the Prajapatis, and he is served even by such personalities as Nanda and Sunanda. Daksha addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, "My dear Lord, you are transcendental to all speculative positions. You are completely spiritual, devoid of all fear, and you are always in control of the material energy. Even though you appear in the material energy, you are situated transcendentally. You are always free from material contaminations because you are completely self-sufficient." The priest addressed the Lord saying, "O Lord, transcendental to material creation, by the curse offered by Lord Shiva's men, we have become attached to fruitive activities, and thus we are now fallen, and therefore do not know anything about you. On the contrary, we are now involved in the injunctions of the three departments of the Vedic knowledge, under the plea of executing rituals in the name of Jagannath. We know that you have made the arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods." So here the priests are addressing the Lord, and they are saying that we've become attached to the fruitive activities, and therefore we do not know anything about you. But they finish off by saying, "We know that you have made arrangements for distributing the respective shares to the demigods." So this is actually their interest. There they see the Lord in their interest. You made the arrangements for distributing the respective shares of the demigods. So when the demigods get their share of the Jagannath Bhog, then they're pleased and they give all prosperity and whatever the worshippers desire. So although they're admitting they don't know anything about the Lord, but they do know he's making the arrangements to give out the goodies that we want. So that curse was given by Nandeshwari after Sati was insulted. And then Nandeshwari started cursing everyone else. The counter-cursing was going on. And he said that, "May those who are envious of Lord Shiva, being attracted by the flowery language of the enchanting Vedic promises, and who have thus become dull, always remain attached to fruitive activities." So this was the curse given. So now they're admitting that now, due to that curse, we have become completely attached to the fruitive activities, and we don't know anything about you, who are transcendental beyond all these fruitive activities. So this is the situation. Prabhupada's quoting here, Vedavata Vrata Parata, that these persons who are attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas, and the example is given, that those flowers are actually poisonous. It's a poisonous creeper giving poisonous flowers, but because they're attractive, foolish people take them, and as a result they simply entangle them more in the activities of action and reaction. So Krishna is saying that they are less intelligent person. So that here these priests are admitting. They are saying that this is the main promise of the Vedas, given in the Karmakanda section. It's elevation to heavenly planets, or happiness in this planet, but specifically the elevation to higher planets is very attractive to people, to go to another planet. It's attractive by itself, everybody, they're trying to go to the moon. So what to speak of when you understand the heavenly delights there? Everybody talks about heaven, well, I mean all the religions talk about a heaven with so much sense gratification, so much happiness, so people are very enthusiastic. You can go to the moon planet, you can live there for thousands of years, you can take the Somaras and the Nandanandana gardens where all the devas enjoy it, you can enjoy there. So it's very attractive. So if we perform a sacrifice in this life, then we can go to these heavenly planets in our next life. So because their interest is there, that's all they are preaching. And so they are telling all their followers that this is actually the main part of the Vedas, which it is. The Vedas, the Karmakanda section especially, is dealing with fruitive activities, enjoying, getting results from your activities so you can enjoy in the material world. So they are saying there's nothing more than this. Look, proclaimed again and again throughout the Vedas. So they're encouraging everybody to engage in these fruitive activities. Even when Vyasadeva wrote these sections of the Vedas, he was heavily criticized by Narad Muni when he come chastise him. Why, you've already, people are attracted to sense gratification, and now you're writing in the Vedas, you can get more sense gratification. So now they're using that sense gratification as the religion. Our religion is sense gratification because it's in the Vedas. So we'll take out all the bits that say we can have sense gratification and say we're Vedic followers. It's our religion. It's our dharma. So Narad Muni chastised Vyasadeva. You've done a misjustice actually by presenting the Karmakanda section. Of course the Vedas are presented in the different sections of the Vedas, but the majority are the Karmakanda sections, because that is the most popular thing in the material world. After all, we came here to be the Lord. That means we want to enjoy. We have to control and enjoy something. That's our position. So those, all these Vedic injunctions that teach us how we can control. You do a little bit of sacrifice. Cost you a lot of money to engage all these sacrifices. You do a little bit of austerity, a little bit of penance. You have to eat some light food. You have to control, but then you can enjoy. So the controlling, enjoying aspect is there in the living entities. It's because we're part and parcel of Krishna. He's the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. We have that minute parts of Krishna, but that same feeling is there. I want to control. I want to enjoy. So those parts in the Karmakanda section, the Vedas, that bring out this very nice, okay, yes. So we'll gather all these pieces together, and we see nothing but a life of happiness. We'll perform these Vedas with happiness now, we'll go to heaven after. So they are teaching all the followers this, and they hardly ever touch on the Upanishads, which deal more with the soul and more with spiritual life. And they're pointing out the real purpose. Bhakti is there, bhakti has to be there also. Liberation and bhakti is there, because if bhakti wasn't mentioned in the Vedas, then it wouldn't be nobody would be able to substantiate it. Someone's preaching about bhakti, where does it say it in the Vedas? Well, we can't accept it then. It's not substantiated in the Vedas. So the Vedas do speak of bhakti quite a lot, but and so therefore it is authorized. But because people are not very much inclined to bhakti, they're more inclined to enjoying sense gratification, so therefore the emphasis in the Vedas is given to get good fruitive results, so you can enjoy. So So Prabhupada says, in his purport to the in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Vedas are mainly dealing with fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to the position on the transcendental plane. So, although Krishna has given the license of sense gratification, simultaneously it's very well designed by Krishna, as everything is, when he does something, many things are accomplished with his one activity. So, here is the Vedas, you follow it, you'll be happy. But within the Vedas, by performing the injunctions of the Vedas, it means you have to perform some sacrifice. You have to perform some austerities. So these are good. Austerity is very good. Brahmacharya tapasya. Human life is meant for austerity. That is what human life is meant for. That's in the Upanishads. Later we'll go to that. But you don't mention that now. You mention the kamakandi things, the enjoying part. Not human form of life is meant for self-realization. But this is the fact. The human form of life is meant for self-realization. The animal forms of life, and other forms, they're not meant for self-realization. They don't have capacity. The living entity in the human body has a capacity. Therefore, the human form of life is meant for self-realization. It is meant for getting out of the clutches of the three modes of material nature. It is meant for going back home, back to Godhead. But who wants to hear that? After all, we came here to enjoy. We don't want to come to a place to enjoy and we're told at the front door, you've got to perform austerities because the human form of life is meant for austerity. We'll turn around, we want to go to another place where it allows us to enjoy. So Krishna's given the Vedas, Krishna's kind of tricking the common people, opposite the general public. So it's elevating. Along with their sense gratification, they have to perform austerities. And along with worshipping the devatas, like here, they got to worship Narayan. They have to have a Narayan Shalagram Shila is there in all their worship. First they worship Lord Narayan. They realize he's the beneficiary of everything. Then they do the Deva Puja. Otherwise I understand it's not working properly. So they're following all the rules, so they're actually worshipping Narayan. Just for the sake, just to be good Vedic followers, that's all. Just out of respect, this is the way you should do it. So we're going to respect Lord Narayan, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's going to sanction everything, and by his will everything's going to happen through the demigods, but we're really much more interested in what the demigods are going to give us. But he's a figure there, so we'll respect him. But anyway, they're offering their respects to Lord Narayan. That's not their intention, but they're doing it, you see. So the Vedas are tricking the common people to show respect. It's tricking them to perform some austerities. It's tricking them to have higher understandings of the position of Vishnu, the position of the demigods. So it's a gradual elevation. So this is actually the purpose within the Vedas that Krishna has given it, although he's given a system of living in the material world and enjoying in the material world. It's the instructions are actually they're laced with a progression to help that person progress unknowingly. They want to eat meat. Okay, then you go certain dark moon night, you go to the goddess Kali, and there's different mantras. But you've got to go through a Vedic process. You've got to approach a priest. You've got to give some dakshin. Some austerity must be there. So this is the purpose of the Vedas. It elevates a person from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, to the mode of goodness. This is the trick of the Vedas, the unseen trick. And then from the mode of goodness, then we can learn our transcendence and go beyond that back to the spiritual world. So this is what Krishna's saying here. It's to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to the position of on the transcendental plane. So the living entities are struggling very hard for existence. And for them, the Lord gave the Vedic knowledge then how to live in the material world, and also how to get rid of the material entanglement. So there's two things happening. You're living in the world, and you're doing it so you can get pleasure from it. So Krishna's giving you that license. Sacrifice to the demigods. The demigods will be pleased. In turn, they will rain upon man all the necessities, and you'll be happy. Krishna says, be thou happy by this jagana. He's encouraging them, be happy. Although he's criticizing so many other places, condemning it, or condemning those followers. But to encourage them, be thou happy by this jagana. It'll give you all the things, all the sense gratification you desire. So that's the idea. So when they follow, they follow. When all those karmakanda activities are finished, then you get the chance for spiritual realization given in the form of the Upanishads, etc. And Vedanta Sutra, which begins at that point. Atato Brahma Jigasha, that starting point. Okay, now inquiring to Brahman. This means we're not going to speak any sense gratification here. So then the Upanishads are giving you a higher form. Then you're ready for the Upanishad. When you finish Karmakanda, then you're ready for the Jnanakanda. So this is the position of the living entity. He wants to enjoy in the material world. So the immediate sense gratification is appealing. Direct, you know, sensual perception with the sense object, that's appealing. So he does it lifetime after lifetime. He does it through Vedic dharma. He's following his dharma. But still it's not satisfying the soul. Even he's getting all these things. Then he goes up to the heavenly planets. He goes to the Nandananda gardens, which he wanted. He drinks the Soma Ras. He's enjoying all that, but still the soul is not satisfied. And he may stay around for God knows how many births in these places, according to his attachment. But eventually, that dissatisfaction will cause him to go another place. He'll change his deep worshipful deities. He'll change his mode of worship. Because he'll realize, maybe not directly, but it will just dawn him after so much, the soul is not getting satisfaction. I chose this path to get my ultimate happiness, but I'm still not getting it. So subconsciously the soul is saying, you're not getting it. Okay, so try somewhere else. So then he tries another field of activities. He changes his worship, he changes his devotee. He has to do that because he's dissatisfied. So like that, he starts moving around and he goes through all those pieces actually, or he can do. In that search for happiness, ultimately he goes back down to the animal kingdom and 84 lakh species of life. When he gets the human form, then he does the Pitri Putri, he goes to Pitri Loka. And up there it's great. All of his family members are there. All his family members who are here are there. Same people. Oh, it's great. You've got the same family. You've got all this. I don't know if you've got the same problems. As Queen Kunti was saying that. Who was she speaking to? Who was the wicked? Who was the person who was always against Krishna? Anyway, one of them. She said, I hope when everyone goes back to the realms of the demigods after the battles of him, I hope this boy, he doesn't keep his same attitude and go there and criticize everyone like he does here. So anyway, it's understood it's not going to be like that actually. When you go to the heavenly planets, even though you're the same people, you're going to have a different mentality there, so you're not going to end up fighting and squabbling. Because it's a higher planet, it's different rules that govern. But anyway, he goes up, and you stay up in Pitraloka until they stop offering you oblations. Your children offer you pinda, foodstuffs, shraddha ceremony. You do the shraddha ceremony for your father. And then you put you have his picture on the wall, or in the shop. You see him in the shops. Everyone has a picture of the grandfather, and they do a little puja every day. Before they worship all the art items in their shop. Everybody does it in Bengal, actually. So, but they got the picture up there of their father or grandfather, and they do a little bit of puja, and make some offering of pinda. So that keeps them up in Pritri Loka. Then after that, the next generation comes, and you know, the great-great-grandfather, they take his picture off the wall, they don't know him. Then he comes down, because then they're not offering Pritri Puja anymore, so he comes down again. He takes birth in exactly the same family, the community, again, and starts all over again. Then he goes back up in the same community. So like that, he's going up. But then again, he's still not satisfied, even his, because everybody likes friends and relationships, friendship, society, and love. Everybody's doing it, so it must be a big thing here. So, do it again. We can go up in the heavenly planets and do it there. Great, you've got the same people, the same family. So, they go up there again, up and down, up and down, up and down. The soul, I'm not getting happiness here. Okay. Let me try this. Let me try Ganesh worship. Let me try worshipping that. So he changes his own mode. So this is the plight of the living entity. He's constantly traversing it through this universe after universe after universe, searching for that ultimate happiness. So the idea is, when he comes to his senses, okay, then let me turn to the, let me stop enjoying, trying to enjoy, but let me try to understand the real parts of life. Let me turn to the Upanishads that are in the part of the Vedas, and let me try to understand that. So here are the Veda Vrata. But Arjuna is telling, Prabhupada mentions this, Trigunya Vishayi. This is second chapter, 45th verse of Bhagavad Gita. He says that you should rise above the modes of material nature. They're dealing, the three gunas, they're mainly dealing with the Vedas are mainly dealing with the three gunas. So try to rise above the Vedas, Arjuna. Rise above it, be free from the attraction. Because they're dealing mainly with the three modes of material nature, so rise above them. So Krishna's saying that, but just previously he's been speaking so much Dharma. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, actually, you should do your Dharma, which means execute the orders of the Vedic Dharma. Means the three modes of material, or specifically Chaturvanam Mishtam Gunakama Vigasha. Krishna says, I've created these divisions in society according to quality and worth. So you have to, you're obliged to follow that. And Krishna's acting like a Kshatriya. He's nice Trigun. He's above the modes of material nature, but he's got a sword in his hand. He's on a battlefield. He's acting like, it looks like a Kshatriya, but he's supposed to be above that. But even he's following. So Krishna's speaking so many things about Dharma. You follow Dharma. But he's telling Arjuna, you should rise above it. Be free from it. Nice Trigun Bhavajun. So he wants him to become transcendental. To that, in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he's speaking about this. Nice Trigun. You have to rise above these three gunas because they're full of dualities. It means you have to give up all of your sadhanas, your dharmas, karma, artha, dharma, moksha. Krishna saying, give all that up and just take shelter of bhakti yoga. Take shelter of me in bhakti yoga. This is what Krishna is actually saying when he's saying rise above that. Because bhakti mama bhijananti is Krishna saying, I can only be known by bhakti. So you have to, if you want to know me at all, you have to take the path of bhakti. Your karma, artha, dharma, karma, moksha is not going to get me. Only bhakti will get me. Yashadevi para bhakti. Only by infringing faith in the bhakti in the Guru and Krishna, everything will be revealed through that. Not otherwise. It is I who am to be understood through the Vedas, Krishna says. So this is the real purpose of the Vedas, is to understand Krishna, is to rise above the three modes of material nature. And so he's telling here different quotes about this. How to rise above. Nice Trigun Bhava. So how do you act in the material world and be free above the modes of material nature? Because everything here is composed of the modes of material nature. So how we are supposed to act in this world, which is the modes of material nature? Krishna saying, become free. How can you become free? Where in every direction you look is nothing but the modes of material nature. Unless you look within. or Radha Madhava. Or the devotees also. But anyway, this is the situation. So he's here, he's quoting the Srimad Bhagavatam. 11th canto, 25 chapter, and then he quotes a series of verses here. Work performed as an offering unto me, occasionally, without the consideration of the fruit, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Work performed with the desire to enjoy results is in the mode of passion, and work impelled by violence and envy is in the mode of ignorance. Absolute knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Knowledge based on duality is in the mode of passion. And foolish material knowledge is based in the mode of ignorance. Knowledge based on me, however, is understood to be transcendental. So knowledge, we're using knowledge at every moment. We have to use knowledge to function. So here it's telling, yes, but you can get knowledge in the mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. But knowledge based on Krishna is transcendental. It's not anything to do with the modes of material nature. Residence in the forest is in a mode of goodness. Residence in a town is in a mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the qualities of ignorance. And residence in a place where I reside is transcendental. Radha Madhava temple key. A worker free from attachment is in the mode of goodness. A worker blinded by personal desire in the mode of passion. A worker who has completely forgotten how to tell right from wrong is in the mode of ignorance. But a worker who has taken shelter of me is understood to be transcendental to the modes of material nature. So Krishna is saying again in the Bhagavad Gita, take shelter under me. The Supreme Lord is situated in your heart. Surrender unto him utterly. Take shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. Faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Faith directed in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. Faith residing in irreligious activity is in the mode of goodness, ignorance. But faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. So act we must, so we have to act in the mood of devotional service for Krishna. Food that is wholesome, pure, and obtained without difficulty and is the mode of goodness. Food that gives immediate pleasure to the senses in the mode of passion. And food that is unclean and causes distress is in the mode of ignorance. But food offered to me is beyond the modes of material nature. So only eat Krishna prasadam. Happiness derived from the self is in the mode of goodness. Happiness based on sense gratification is in the mode of passion. Happiness based on delusion and degradation is the mode of ignorance. But that happiness which is found in me is transcendental happiness. If you want happiness, everyone. So it has to be found in Krishna. Therefore, material substance, place, result of activity, time, knowledge, work, performance of work, faith, states of consciousness, species of life, and designation after death are all based on the three modes of material nature. And practically that's everything we're dealing with. All states of material beings are related. All states of material being are related to the interaction of the enjoying soul and material nature. Whether seen, heard, or only conceived within the mind, they are without exception constituted of the modes of nature. O gentle Uddhava, all these different phases of conditional life arise from work born in the modes of material nature. A living entity who conquers these modes of nature, manifested from the mind, by the process of devotional service, can dedicate himself to me and thus attain pure love for me. Hare Krishna. So here, otherwise very, very difficult to understand how the modes of material nature are working, how we're completely bound up. Prabhupada said in his purport that this transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness is achieved when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. You're fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. So you perform your devotional activities completely dependent on Krishna's goodwill. And if he likes, he can reveal. And if he doesn't like, he won't reveal. He's kindly revealed himself to Daksha and all these members of the arena here. He's revealing himself to them, and they're kamakandis practically. They're not pure devotees, but still, out of his sweet will, because they're following the Vedic rituals, Krishna's appearing in the form of Vishnu to kind of emphasize, you know, I'm Jagannishwara, I'm the Lord, you're calling me, and I'm personally here. So this is his complete mercy. Although they're not pure devotees even. But still Krishna's appearing. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So they want that Jagannishwara. If he comes, that means he's going to accept our offerings. That means we're going to get the results of our sacrifice. We can please Vishnu. But still the aim is to satisfy themselves. But anyway, he appears in the arena and then he disappears. There's no lasting relationship. But in the path of bhakti, then actually Krishna can't leave his devotee's heart. So it's firmly established that he's with Krishna all the time. So then life should be, as Prabhupada stated many times, that life is for simple living. It should be simple living and high thinking. It means we understand Krishna is the Bhoktaram Jagatapasham Sarvalokamaheshwaram. He's the friend of everyone also. And we just do our work with that much faith in Krishna. And you see, Prabhupada was always against the Ugra Karma. I think he was writing that in the 1940s or 1950s when he started the Bhagavatam. But he was talking about all the Ugra Karma and how they're destroying the planet and things like that. And how they're forcing people, you know, to travel hundreds of miles to go to work in hellish situations. That Prabhupada was so compassionate. He's talking to these people who have become under the grip of nature. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to simple living. Live off the land. You don't have to go travel miles to work in a horrible place. And just be satisfied with what you can get locally and simply. And always remembering Krishna, as it says here, become dependent on the sweet will of Krishna. You can live a simple life. You see, many of these devotees of the Dhammabhasis here, of course it's different now, we're kind of a built up city, it's not so much interaction, but when we were first here, there's only a few devotees, so naturally you're with the Dhammabhasis, you're with the farmers, you're with those who are herding the buffaloes, and you're talking to all these people in the rickshaw wallahs and everything. Poor people. You can't really talk philosophy with them. They don't have that real buddhi. They're Dhammabhasis. But in the conversation, you're having a conversation, and they would say, yeah, yeah, Mahaprabhu Vichya, yeah, yeah, by Govinda's desire. This is the deep conviction that by Krishna's desire, by Mahaprabhu's mercy, it keeps coming out, you see, when they're speaking. They're speaking, you know, about some local stuff. but they say, yeah, Mahaprabhu Vichya. It's not coming out of my mouth, and you know, we got all the tilak and the saffron on. I know, but it's in their heart, you see. They're Dhammabhasis. They're taking shelter of Krishna. They're completely dependent on the will of Krishna. Mahaprabhu Vichya. Depends on Mahaprabhu, what he wants. Not that we are going to go out and achieve everything. So this is a state of consciousness that Prabhupada is saying it. And that's why he wanted to live very simply on the land. It's so difficult to understand how the modes of material work and how we're entangled in them. And we know it's difficult. Even when we take the path of a sadhana bhakti, it's so difficult. Okay, don't become a sense enjoyer. Become a bhakta, a sadhana bhakta. Follow the principles of Pancharachiki Vidhi. So we're trying to follow all these. How difficult it is. All these sense control rules and things like that. on the, and it's all for Krishna, it's supposed to be at least. But until Krishna reveals it, by his sweet will he reveals. The devotees say, Krishna is revealed whenever and when, whenever he desires to, by his sweet will. That's the only reason Krishna appears, by his sweet will. Nothing to do with our activities or... Ultimately it's just Krishna's complete sweet independent will, if he wants to reveal himself. So this is the attitude we're trying to cultivate. We're completely dependent on Krishna. But otherwise it's so difficult in this... So we don't want to make it more difficult. So Prabhupada was saying, when he's stressing all this simple living, high thinking, it's just so we don't get too much more in that. Already it's difficult. Even if you live a peaceful life with cows and things like that, still it's difficult to see what actually is what's going on, the modes of material and how they're interacting. Still it's difficult, but still you're not getting caught up in all this Ugra Karma stuff, which is really, really destroying the lives of everyone. They have no chance practically. So I was talking to Tejas Prabhu, and he's really into Varnashram. He's implementing that, trying to implement it. And he made a real thorough study of it, what Prabhupada said about it. And he told me my conclusion. This is a conclusion after all of his study of why Prabhupada's emphasizing Varnashram and things like that in so many places and quotes. This is his conclusion to save time. That's all. Just to save time. You don't have to go 3 hours to go to work, 3 hours to come back again. No time for it. Just to save time. You can work locally. You have so much time, or if you work the land, they do harvest for it. It's hard work for it. But then you've got a few months completely rest. You can, so cultivate, you have extra time, you can cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is what it's for, is that this simple living, simply so you can save time to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And if you ask anybody about Krishna consciousness, why don't you come? Oh, I don't have time. Why don't you read Bhagavad Gita? Why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Well, I don't have time. This is always their answer, they don't have time. So Prabhupada wanted that simple living just to save time so we can simply dedicate that and give more time for Krishna consciousness. Shri Prabhupada ki, International Society for Krishna Consciousness ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gopi Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. Any comments? Questions?